Good morning. I'm Shalom Berg-Harton, and I'm sitting here with Yonatan Hamburger. Good morning, Yonatan.
Good morning, Shalom Berg.
Yonatan works with nonprofits, helping them get funding. And so today, we're going to discuss a very specific area within financing, and that is once you've decided, you've gone through all the different options for yourself and you decided that you want to use a commercial loan, whether you want to use it for your Chabad house or for a residential home, what are the first steps, Yonatan, that are necessary for a shliach to take to get himself ready to be approved for a loan?
Shalom Berg, I just want to clarify, when you say commercial financing, this is financing from a commercial bank, and the borrower will be the moissed. The borrower will not be the shliach in this scenario. So when the moissed wants to obtain mortgage financing, be it for a refinance or a purchase of any type of collateral, whether it's a residential home that happens to be a Chabad house or a personal residence, or whether it's a commercial building, the appropriate place to take this package would be to a commercial bank. They will be the likely lender in the scenario.
Okay, so if I need to go to a commercial bank, is there a specific bank which is preferable to go to, or could I just go to any of the large banks like Bank of America or Chase?
Go anywhere but the large banks. You're not going to get a loan from Bank of America or Chase. It is not going to happen. The likely funding sources will be one of two sources. One would be the First National Bank of Yochupitzville, meaning small community-based banks, one branch, two branch, three branch banks that have a footprint geographically in your area and they want to do good. So that's one source of potential banks for you to choose from. The other are actually larger banks, but they specialize in church lending. Most of them are located in the Bible Belt, and we've had great success with those banks as well.
Okay, so I'm going to go to my local bank, but before I do, I mean, I've heard that I have to have, my books in order, etc. What steps do I need to take so that I know when I walk through those doors, I'm going to be approved for that loan?
The basic requirements the banks are looking at break down as follows. First of all, in terms of assets, the bank obviously needs to see that you have a down payment. That down payment is generally no less than 25% in the case of commercial lending to nonprofits. They want to see that you have skin in the game. Could be more than 25% as well. Secondly, your financial statements need to reflect that at the end of the day, after all of your expenses, there's sufficient net income to cover not just the loan request, but a little bit more. That's known as a debt coverage ratio. In terms of the documentation requirements themselves, banks will be looking for three previous years' financial statements, plus the current year-to-date financials. So if this were in 2017 right now, that would mean 2014, 15, 16, and part of 2017.
What do those financial statements need to look like?
The financial statements should be comprised of two documents. One of them is called a profit and loss statement or an income and expense statement. And that's a reflection of how much money came in, how much money went out, and what it went towards. And at the bottom is what's called your net income. On that particular form, one rule of thumb that banks use is if you have, as an example, $300,000 in revenue from various sources, be it donation income, tuition income, what have you, a bank is not going to want to lend more than 2.5 to 3 times the amount of your gross income. So if your gross income is $300,000 a year, generally a bank is not going to want to lend you more than $900,000, 3 times that amount. Then if you drop all the way to the last line, which is called your net income or loss, there will be a number there. That number oftentimes is a negative number, not a positive number, especially in the case of Chabad House, the way Chabad houses run. However, that's not the end of the story, because there are certain expenses that get added back to the number at the bottom of the page. One such expense would be your current occupancy expense. Whatever you're spending right now on rent would get added back. Any expenses that you have throughout the year that are either discretionary in nature or they're one-time occurrences can generally also be added back. Not something for you to concern yourself with now. Just keep in mind that you do need to have clean books. They should be in you should be using QuickBooks. These financials, if you're borrowing less than, say, $1 million or maybe $1.5 million, you can actually use internal financial statements done by your own bookkeeper. Otherwise, you're going to want a compiled statement from a CPA. Don't despair if the numbers don't look good from your eyes. There's a whole other subplot going on in terms of being able to within the letter of the law, make sure that the financials are presented in such a way that will give you the highest likelihood of approval. I'm sorry to be cryptic, Schellenberger, but that's about as far as we can go.
Okay. Okay, so once I have all my paperwork in order and I'm ready to walk through that door to that bank, are there any other steps that I need to take besides my financials to make sure that, once again, I will get that loan?
Again, you've got two different kinds of banks. If you're dealing with a small local bank, they tend to be less sophisticated themselves and really don't know what they're looking for in terms of typical nonprofit metrics. So it's going to be easier in one respect to get a mortgage from one of those types of banks. So again, they're going to be looking for a certain debt coverage ratio. That debt coverage ratio means that for every dollar in monthly mortgage payment, you have to have $1.25 to $1.50 available to pay that dollar. That's called a debt coverage ratio. Also, there are nuances within the financial statements in terms of the bank wanting to see that each successive year, your business, your MOICID, grows somewhat as opposed to shrinking, those types of things. So they're going to be scrutinizing the financials. Second of all, they're going to be asking you probably at the very least for a current bank statement to see where your assets are. They're also going to want to know historic information about the MOICID. If your MOICID is less than 5 years old, you're going to have a much more difficult time getting a mortgage. If your MOICID is over 10 years old, you're going to have a much easier time getting a mortgage. So there's the asset documentation, meaning the bank statements. By the way, with the bank statements, please be sure that you don't have any return check charges, non-sufficient fund charges, overdraft fees. It's kind of the kiss of death on these types of mortgages. But that aside, your asset documentation, your income documentation, your 501c3, your articles of incorporation, your bylaws, and you need to tell a story somewhat subjectively in terms of what you do and how you do it and who your top 10 donors are. They don't need to know the names, but they need to know the amounts. They're also looking for certain formulas called giving unit ratios, but they'll let you know that through the process. It's not something that you can do ahead of time.
Okay, when you mention asset, so how much money do I actually need to have in the bank in order for them to take me serious?
As you know, if you've ever done a building campaign, until that campaign is in motion, you don't have any money in the bank. And that campaign generally doesn't get into motion until you've got a property under contract. So the bottom line is, if you're applying for a mortgage at the beginning of the process, you're not going to have any money in the bank. The bank understands that. The new lending bank understands that. What they will accept in lieu of will be either your statement in terms of how much money you're raising and that you've already got the funds raised and it's just a matter of getting it from the donor's account into your account, or they may request donor letters, actual statements from the donors saying, yes, we intend to give $50,000 to Chabad of Yechopetzvah.
Okay, so before we close up over here, are there any other points that you'd like to mention?
If you're looking at a property that you're considering for your Chabad house, I would recommend that you contact the seller directly or through the broker if there's representation, and find out about the possibility of seller-carried financing. Believe it or not, Shluchim have done this and they've benefited from it by getting the seller to carry financing. They're getting better terms on their mortgage. They're getting a longer-term amortization or interest only to keep their payments lower. It's good for the seller because they may qualify for installment sale tax treatment, meaning that they're going to pay less overall income tax. So if you're dealing especially with a senior citizen who doesn't have what to do with the cash that you're going to give him, what better thing to invest it in than the mortgage on the property that he already knows, and he's holding 25 or 30% of your money hostage. So all I'm saying is that should be like the first thing you do is check with the seller to see if he'll finance it, because you'll get better terms than you will from the bank.
Okay, thank you so much, Yonatan. This has been very informative, and thank you for all that you do for the Shluchim.
Thanks, Shalom Bear. Take care.
Okay, bye.